Congratulations, you did it. You have survived winter. Those dark nights, dark mornings, stupidly short days, all of that, you have come through it. I have been absent. I've been AWOL again for a few weeks. And I think, as I think about it, a lot of that has still been, I have been in that wintering phase. We've had so much family stuff going on. Hospital admittances, serious operations, quite literally brain surgery has happened for one of my relatives. And I've been focusing on just the stuff that has felt really, really important, right? The stuff that has needed to be done. Now, it's not to say I love doing this podcast. I love the thoughts. I love the thinking space. I love being able to share this space with you. And I've also just not had the energy to do it. It's been on my list every single week, record podcast. And I just haven't got it in me, right? I've not got it in the tank today. I don't know what I want to say. I don't know how I'd share it. I don't know what I want to talk about. Just like not today. And this morning, I've woke up and like, do you know what? I want to record my podcast. And I've written about five different lots of notes of different episodes that I want to talk to you about. So welcome. Here we are back, Burnoutology, the podcast. I am Kelly Swingler, your host. I'm the Burnoutologist. I am muddling through as we go. Burnoutology is uncut, unedited, unscripted, as those of you that have been here for a while will know. Whether you're new or whether you're returning, welcome. Thanks very much for sticking with me. If you're listening after the break, if you've not given up on me, and seeing this come into your feed this morning was a welcome treat, then thank you very much for waiting. But let's talk more, shall we, about wintering. Right, seriously, about wintering. I think more, much, much more than ever last year. And I am going to say, I think where I have really, truly allowed myself just more thinking time this year, more pace, more of a slower pace, is genuinely because I was forced last year to take even more time out than I ever have done in my entire life, because I was going into and preparing for this total hysterectomy. My hormones have taken the biggest hit ever. I think I've mentioned this to you in quite a few episodes. Like, I felt like I was brilliant, and quite literally my hormones fell off a cliff, and we've still been balancing all of that. Sorry if you can hear that weird noise in the background. That's me kicking my desk. Not the bucket, but the desk. And I've just been just stripping out, what work do I want to continue to do? What clients do I want to continue to do? What impact do I want to continue to make? What clothes do I want to wear, right? How do I want to feel when I get dressed in the morning? How do I want to look when I look at myself in the mirror? How do I want to continue to take all of this burnout work forwards? And I haven't felt this year, I've mentioned this in previous episodes as well, but I have, I suppose, like an annual review about four times a year. And I do goal setting for about three or four times a year. And usually when new year hits, the new calendar year, right, we hit 1st of January, I'm like, right, I'm ready and raring to go. And I had a bit of that this year, but it still felt a bit off. I was like, no, I don't need it this year. But coming into like a new lunar year, stepping into spring, then it's been like, oh, okay, I can feel the energy building. I can feel where I want to be able to take stuff. I then usually do a review. It's been a little bit earlier this year, but kind of, you know, around the kind of end of the financial year stuff, maybe sometimes into June. And then I'll review my year again in and around September with my birthday. And what does that look like? What do I want for my next year on Earth? And how do I want to do that? But I've really, really been paying attention to much more of my energy, much more of where I want to go. I have, if you haven't, well, whether you have or you haven't, I've been working 2 days a week this year. And it's been pretty amazing. What it's done for my energy, what it's doing for my health, what it's doing in helping me to rebuild my strength after this operation and all of these years of illness and difficulties and misdiagnosis, it's really allowed me to step into that more. I think what's been quite interesting though is when I speak to different people, I was speaking to one of my sons. He came home. One of my sons is in the Navy, and he was back for a week a few weeks ago. We were having a conversation. And he's like, "Do you ever work?" I think usually when he comes home, right, he's home for Christmas, he's home for his birthday, he's home for my birthday if he can get back then. But I think usually when he comes, or if he's home for a weekend, of course he doesn't really see me working anymore. He doesn't know what that looks like Monday to Friday anymore. And he's like, "Do you ever work now?" And I said to him, "Well, I'm just enjoying 2 days a week at the minute. What are you only working 2 days a week for? Like, do you not really, like, if you worked more, like, you could be earning more, Mum." And it's like, "Well, I get that." And trying to explain to him, but my life has never looked like, I suppose, a normal life, right? I was 14 and 15 when I started clubbing. And into my kind of, I suppose, mid to late teens, like, I was in a club 5 or 6 nights a week. And if I wasn't in a club 5 or 6 nights a week, I was in a bar five or six nights a week. I worked part-time whilst I was doing my A-levels. I still carried on, you know, kind of working and stuff when I entered the world of work. I then fell pregnant with my sons when I was 19. I had my sons 3 months after my 20th birthday. And my 20s were progressing and developing my career, trying to be the best mum that I possibly could, and still trying to be great friends, still being visible, still going out, still doing everything that needed to be done. My 30s pretty much, I suppose, were then recovering from my 20s. But at 32, I had that first burnout that made me seriously ill. At 35, I had the burnout that nearly killed me. And but like I'm 10 years after that now, right? So 10 years after that second burnout, and I've continued to grow really successful businesses. I've continued to put the hours in. I've dropped down to a 4-day week, you know, during those years. I've made changes to my work, but I've still always been thinking about what's the next idea, what's the next service, what's the next training, what's the next program, what's the next event, what's the next book. All of that stuff has just continued to grow. What's the next thing that I need to develop in my business? What's the next thing that I need to grow? What does all of that look like? And I have just grown and grown and grown and grown. Grown the business, grown the brand, I suppose, grown my personal brand, grown my visibility, grown my credibility, just kept growing, 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 growing. Last year at kind of 44, coming into 45, I had that full stop, right? I had literally 12 months during that 12-month period, I suppose kind of 18-month period eventually when I'd kind of had the operation. But over that 18-month period, I was only able to work 25 days. And yet I still was able to make a big impact, make a big difference, train incredible coaches. And don't get me wrong, I'm nowhere near like I'm ready to retire. There's none of that. And I want more time. I love the work that I do. I love delivering. Mondays for me are all about Master Burnout Coach, right? Master Burnout Coach training, the prep, the calls, the coaching as part of that, every single thing. Like, Mondays are my absolute best way to start the week. Thursdays are then focused on the Burnout Coach Collective. Any of the one-to-one clients that I am still working with, coaching them on kind of Mondays or Thursdays in between that live program. If and when then I've got the energy, I'm doing the blogs, I'm doing the videos, I'm recording the podcast, I'm sorting out my social media, I'm writing my emails for the week. And Tuesdays are then my personal training day and a nice long soak in a bath and some reading and just allowing myself some proper, proper thinking space, some proper headspace. Wednesdays is then kind of, as has become, I suppose, like a house day. Getting stuff sorted in the house, you know, meal prep, shopping. Nothing particularly, like, you know, interesting or mind-blowing. Nothing groundbreaking, but just allowing me to create more of a home. And allowing myself to feel more at home in our home. Thursdays, as I said, I'm then kind of back in Burnout Coach Collective, delivering all of that. And Fridays, I'm allowing myself like a non-productive day. I don't have to do anything. Like the life admin, things like the haircuts, the nail appointments, the facials, all of that sort of stuff. That's all happening Wednesdays. Like Friday, I can have like a full-on, proper, non-productive day. I can watch crap on TV. I can read a book. I can dance around the house with my favourite music on. I can do whatever it is that looks like. And then Saturday, I've got the energy to be with my family. I've got the energy to focus on my parents, who I still feel very, very blessed and lucky to have. And I want to be able to spend as much time with them as I possibly can. If my sons are here, I don't want to be spending all weekend thinking like I've got to be shopping, I've got to be doing housework, I've got to be sorting the washing, I've got to be doing the whatever it is that needs to be doing. Because I want to have already done that during the course of the week. I genuinely want my weekend to be fun and restorative and full of family and friends and fabulous stuff. Even if that is just chilling with my partner or chilling in the garden or doing whatever needs to be done. And the natural instinct, definitely from what I'm seeing from people, the natural instinct is from lots of people, of course, well, if you just worked longer, you could be even more successful. If you just worked harder, you could be even more successful. And yet, like I've spent, and I say this number and it makes me want to cry, because I think in my head, I'm still just like, you know, I don't know, early 20s, maybe even late teens. But I have been working really, really stupidly hard, not even, you know, like a normal work day. I can't remember a time really where I wasn't doing still kind of 10, 12, 14 hour days. Even in terms of growing up, I'm like, well, you know, I'm doing a 4 day week. I take plenty of breaks. And all of that has been true. And yet those 4 day weeks have still been 10, 12 or 14 hour days because I love what I do. And there's all that saying, isn't there? If you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. And we've been told to believe that. Been told that that's what it is. Find the thing that you love doing and it will never, ever feel like work. And that's really bloody dangerous place to be, right? Because it doesn't feel like work, we still think we've got to keep going. We've been told that if we want success, we've been told that if we want whatever it is that success looks like, right? All of the money in the bank, the nice house, the nice cars, the nice life, the travel, the, you know, all of those experiences. We've been told that all of that is what success needs to look like. And that if we want the success that we've been told we should be believing, that's what we should be striving for. Then we've been told that we need to be working hard all of the time. That rest is lazy, that we should be working 5 days a week or 7 days a week. We should be hustling harder. We should be, you know, we shouldn't be taking breaks. Again, I've mentioned this many times before. Like I grew up in the 80s, right? I was born in 1980. The kind of hustle harder, right? I mean, even like chocolate bars were telling us, right? Work hard, play hard, right? We like sleep when you're dead, hustle harder, no rest for the wicked. Like that's what I grew up with. I had that in my ear all of the time. And my parents, totally different from one another. My mum continued to work after she'd had me. She and my mum and dad ended up having three under three with me, my brother and my sister. My mum was always the one that worked hard. My mum developed in her career. My mum grew. My mum got the promotions. My mum was an incredible manager, an incredible leader. She was qualified. She was educated. She did all of the stuff. My dad stayed at home to look after us three. My dad was brilliant at resting. My dad would like take a nap before he'd cook dinner. My dad would chill out and read a newspaper once he'd done everything that needed doing in and around the house. It used to drive my mum mad. And then once we were all at school age again, my dad went out to work. And really, it was at that point that lots of the arguments began to grow more in the household. Because then both my parents ended up knackered, and yet there was still all of the stuff that needed doing in the house. There was still all of the shopping, all of the housework, all of everything that needed doing. And that was a different balance for them to get both into, because then they both had to do a full-time job, and then they both had to come home and do whatever it was that needed doing around the house. As I suppose 99% of the population are currently doing at the moment, right? More and more of us are living in households, we're creating households where two of us are working. And some of that is because of want, and some of that is because of need, right? Many people can't afford just a one income life anymore. They can't afford to live that way. So more of us are doing that, more of us are juggling that, and yet we haven't necessarily found the right way to juggle that for all of us. And of course, I'm now talking about the fact that I'm really enjoying doing a 2-day week. Again, it's still a long day. It's still doing work that I love. I've stopped doing the unnecessary work. I'm just doing what I love with people that I love. And that's energizing me even more. And it's giving me more time and more focus to live the life that I want to be living. As that, like, I'm nowhere at a point where I want to be retiring. I'm not like, oh my God, I'm like 45 and done. There's none of that going through my head. I just think I want a different version of success. I think that's what burnout teaches most of us, right? And yet the residual part of burnout, like the trauma that stays within us, the way in which burnout impacts our brains and our bodies and our nervous system, the way it continues to live within us for all of those years after, we still live with that fear of not being able to slow down properly, of not being able to do less. Because again, society, everybody around us, right, do less means you're failing. Doing less means you're not enough. Doing less means that you won't be successful. Doing less means that you're lazy. And you still want to prove to the world that you're good enough, that you're strong enough, that you're qualified enough and credible enough. You still want to show everybody that you are still engaged, that you do still love what you do, that there's all of that stuff. And yet there is almost this shame associated with, I'm working 2 days a week. Well, how dare you? You're not going to grow a successful business like that, Kelly. Who do you think you are? Oh, so, and then it becomes, right, oh, well, it's not a proper business. So it's like, it's a bit of a hobby business. Right, this is some of the stuff that I'm hearing. So, you know, so you stop building a business, like it's just going to be a bit of a hobby now. When did we get to that point? I don't know. I've never known what it's like to work part-time. I've never known what it's like to go slow. And yet, if I can have a brilliant income-generating business, doing work that I love with clients that I love, feeling energized and fabulous and seeing the growth and development of the coaches that I'm training to become master burnout coaches to have even more of an impact. I then get to spend my Thursdays in the Burnout Coach Collective with even more clients, having amazing, with even more coaches rather, having incredible conversations about what needs to change in coaching, what we need to be doing as coaches to ensure that we can eliminate more of this burnout. If I can still do lives and podcasts and blogs and videos and educate and talk to people about right what burnout is, how we can stop it, how we can prevent it, what needs to change. If I can still do all of that in a way that really, really lights me up, and spend more time with my aging parents, and be around more and more present, not just around more, but more present when I spend time with my partner and my sons and my stepsons and my brother and my sister and my nieces, that for me is a very, very different version of success. I haven't given up. I haven't stopped. This isn't a hobby. This is still really serious work that I do. And of course, when you're running your own business, I'm not just saying my head switches off all the time. I've still got ideas aplenty. I'm still like making notes all the time. I'm still saying, oh, that would make a great email. That would make a great topic. That would make a great masterclass. This would be, I've still got all of that. I don't feel any less ambitious. I just want to do it a very different way. And so as you come into, right, if you're feeling some of that newness, if you're feeling some of that spring energy, if you're feeling like I've planted the seeds, now it's time to just kind of, you know, to see what's coming. Now it's time to see what's growing. Now it's time to see where we can take this. If you're feeling some of that spring energy, right, you're bouncing out of bed more in the morning, you're loving the early mornings, you're feeling energized by clock changes and all of that stuff, right? How could you like really get into spring and summer and autumn before you allow yourself a bit more wintering in winter? If you had like a blank sheet of paper, what would your spring, summer and autumn look like? Not anybody else's version. But what would your spring, summer and autumn look like? Like, what's the most important thing in your life that you want to be able to make more time for? How much of your time are you spending on stuff just because other people have told you that it needs doing, versus how much energy and time have you got for the stuff that really matters, the stuff that you really want to be doing? And if you're coming into spring still feeling really bloody knackered, literally feel like you are crawling into spring like you crawled into winter, what's a big change that you need to make? Because burnout could still be looming for you. Burnout could still be taking hold. And if you are still at exhaustion, if you're still running on empty, if you're still on the brink of or coming through burnout, how is that impacting your clients? How is that impacting the people that you're working with? What can you do? What needs to change for you to be able to spring more effectively into spring? And if you've got that niggle, just like, I just need more rest. How can you give yourself that? I've got some upcoming workshops and masterclasses. If you want to give those a join, I'll pop the link in the link below this podcast if you'd like to come and join me for that. Until then, I will say see you soon. I'll be back with you again next week. Take care for now. Bye-bye.